Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Flanked by her children, Amy Coney Barrett, a law professor and judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, chosen by the president to fill the seat previously held by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, went through her last hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I am certain it won't be too long before she is approved. The numbers are there, as we say, ad nauseum. And I say ad nauseum because you can listen to what the Democrats say in trying to undercut or in trying just to get information, because not every single one of them is doing that. And then even the Republicans in some of the comments that were made, and then others that were lifting her up. And this is what you go through when you want a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land. I've said this a few times. This is nothing like the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, but there are some serious, serious issues that will go before the Supreme Court in the next couple of years, and there's a lot at stake. But the Senate Republicans predict clear sailing for this Supreme Court nominee as she concluded her confirmation testimony. And she will end up, I think, on a new path as a conservative religious woman who opposes abortion on the highest court in the land. She's devout Catholic, as Lindsey Graham said, and she is an unabashedly pro-lifer person who's had that belief since she was a child and is a person of faith. And as he said, she embraces her faith without apology. And he said he'd never been more proud of a nominee than he is of her. But in the meantime, there were others who did not feel the same way. Like I said, frustrated Democrats are worried about her religious background and what that could do sitting on the Supreme Court, especially when it comes to all kinds of, again, big chunks of cases that will go before the Supreme Court, undoubtedly. Abortion rights, birth control, LGBTQ rights, like the right to marry, that kind of stuff. And Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, of course, from Connecticut, said after Barrett said it would be improper for her to endorse the court's 1965 holding in Griswold versus Connecticut, which involves the use of contraceptives by married couples and speaks to privacy concerns that underpin the right to abortion. He said that several members of the current Supreme Court did not hesitate to endorse Griswold at their confirmation hearings, including Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, all appointed by Republican presidents. But she wasn't commenting on a lot of different cases. She wouldn't comment on the court's 2003 ruling in a case named Lawrence versus Texas that struck laws criminalizing homosexual conduct, or the court's 2015 ruling that said same-sex couples could not be denied the right to marry. But this is it. I mean, it's done. She went through her part of the hearing, and now it moves forward, and then ultimately there will be a vote, and the vote should turn up in her favor, and that would mean she is the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Will she be confirmed before the election? That's what's key, because you're talking about 3 weeks, basically, and then all of a sudden, knock, knock, here we are, and it's November 3rd, and people are voting. And speaking of voting, Oh, I am proud of you, America. I know people are nervous about this as they try to figure out, well, does that definitely mean that that's more Democrats, or are there Republicans voting early as well? 15 million people have already voted. That is a record turnout, in the United States of America. Less than 3 weeks to go before the election. During a pandemic. In Georgia, voters, they say, waited as long as 11 hours to cast their ballots on the first day of early voting. In North Carolina, one in five, roughly 500,000, who have returned mail ballots, did not vote in the last presidential election. Boom, they're there. In Michigan, more than 1 million people, about one-fourth of the total turnout in 2016, have voted. So, record turnout. Most of it in person. So, the results were popping up. I mean, the numbers were popping up pretty quickly. Much of the early voting is believed to be driven by Democrats. But I bet you there's Republicans who are voting early, too. You know, the whole COVID-19 crisis, especially just swing even more a couple of weeks in some areas, and it'll be so bloody cold. And it, part of it is breaking this down and then looking at it and seeing if it's more Democratic or somewhere in between, or does the day depend on the state? I would say it probably depends on the date, and it depends on the state as to what that really, really, really means. While that's going on, and Joe Biden tries to stay strong and in the race, Hunter Biden just comes up like a bad penny, sorry, and he comes up at the wrong time. A man who reportedly had a laptop of Biden's spoke out in kind of a crazy interview and talked about this. The New York Post published a story alleging that Hunter Biden dropped off this laptop at a Delaware computer store for repair, and it had crazy emails and nefarious photos on it. And the guy who owned the store didn't want to deal with it anymore and got rid of it. You know, I'm turning the gear over. I'm getting rid of it. The owner, though, did make a copy of the hard drive, and he gave it to former Mayor Rudy Giuliani's lawyer, Robert Costello. Biden's son, supposedly in these emails somewhere, it shows this, was setting up a meeting between a top exec at the Ukrainian energy firm where he served and his father, who was at the time vice president. But the Biden campaign is saying, oh, that's just crap and nonsense. That's, none of that is true. None of that, according to them, is true. I just keep getting stuck on, how are you leaving this laptop in the first place? How do you do that? Are you kidding? The last thing I would do is just leave a laptop with personal information all over it at a computer store. And then, to add insult to injury, not come back and pick it up. To just let it ride. See how it goes. See if nothing happens. Come on. Oh, odds and ends next.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. Would you live in a van? That tops odds and ends. Say hey, Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us, everybody. What kind of state of mind are you in? Americans apparently are ready to try that nomadic van lifestyle. Ooh, sounds good. I want to take this show on the road. According to a new survey, Move.org says that all the turmoil has affected Americans in the sense they want to get rid of their homes altogether. They want to live in a van. A movie company review site asked hundreds of respondents about how they felt about van life, found that 52% of Americans are now more open to doing that, either full-time or part-time, in modified vehicles, with beds, storage, toilets, cook stoves, you know, the whole thing. So you'd be embracing minimalism. Forget your roots. You are a minimalist. How does that sound? Wouldn't you miss that eighth grade baseball trophy that is stuck underneath your bed? I mean, I'm just saying, 72% of people surveyed said they try the van life thing if it meant they could pay off their debt. Ooh, that's smart. 74% said they'd try to do it if it meant they could retire comfortably. Another 23% said their primary motivation would be not having to pay rent or mortgage. I can completely understand that, right? Just completely pull yourself out of whatever that debt is. Just completely get out of it. I love it. And I think you tell the company. That's the way to do it. Absolutely. All right. I know you need to know about food that resembles Halloween in some way or makes you think of Halloween. So Dunkin' Donuts debuted a new spicy ghost pepper donut for Halloween. Yeah, pumpkin spices and everything. So it's the new spicy ghost pepper donut. And it's on the menu right now, and it's there for a limited time. And what it is basically a yeast donut in the ring, glazed with strawberry flavored icing and topped with cayenne ghost pepper and red sanding sugar. Ooh. That could either be deadly or fantastic. I'm just saying. It's part of the Halloween lineup. That's the deal. It's kind of a cool looking donut. Can you believe it? We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're close to an election, and I'm telling you about, in odds and ends, a donut, for goodness sake. I don't know. Go to Dunkin' and try the Spicy Ghost. Do a good review of it. I don't mean good review. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. And send it to me at kate@katedelaneyradio.com, and I will send you a copy of my tip book. Boom. Just like that. Because you have plenty of time to think about your goals and think about reimagining your life. Don't you? Yes. Yes, you do. Right? And it'll keep you sane. There's activities that you can do. Hey, we can get some advice from the astronauts. There was a story about the 5 astronauts that are in space right now. And you know where they are, right? Of course, the International Space Station. And they know how to deal with it, coping with anxiety and loneliness, because they're in a tin can, basically, an expensive one. For a long isolation experiment, at least from a 520-day Russian isolation experiment. If you think about that, ended in 2011. They talked about doing another one. And, boy, that to me would be really tough. It would be really tough. So you think about all the social distancing and everything else that we've been doing since March, and winter approaching, and the worries about, oh no, isolation. Can you imagine being isolated in space? So I love that they did do this interview to find out what's it like to be gone for a year? What's it like to be, in space and out of touch with whatever your normal activity is. And so their advice was that you need to communicate. You need to have little times of communication, even from space, because the astronauts have children. They have time to talk to them. And one suggested that retired astronaut Katie Coleman from Massachusetts said she learned that talking to kids or adults was huge, and she would read books with her little son. The other thing is getting exercise. This is the advice to you. Getting exercise, that the crew had to do 2 hours of exercise daily. Wow, really? Because they had to maintain bone and muscle health. Ugh, if you hate to exercise, you cannot be an astronaut. think about that. You could skip running or walking or jumping rope or doing aerobic anything in your everyday life here on Earth. But if you're an astronaut, you are required to do it for 2 hours. Ooh. And then the ritual, I agree with this one. In space, mealtime is a big thing, and space food has come a long way. So everybody would try to kind of share meals together, be there together for meals. That's a great thing. I mean, that's a great thing to remember, right? Take a meal with somebody instead of just being by yourself. And if you are by yourself, just, do one of those Zoom dooms. Let's eat together. I just had a pizza delivered for you, and I've got my own. Let's have some pizza together and have a conversation. Maybe we throw in a couple of beers, too. Maybe we watch the game together. Yeah. That's the ticket. I don't know. There's certainly ways to do that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, a Florida coach, in fact, it's Dan Mullen, won't admit that he was wrong allowing fans to the LSU game. So, we're in this thing about not packing stadiums. And for Mullen, he's talking about, let's pack the stadium with 90,000 people. We want a competitive advantage against LSU. Hello, knock, knock. spreading COVID-19 sound familiar? He hasn't said much publicly. Who has he offended? I don't know. People just think it's just the stupidity. Of course. Why? We are 7 months into the pandemic. The virus is in control, baby, not you. Florida isn't playing LSU this weekend, and certainly not in front of 90,000 people, because the Gators turned up with positive tests at the beginning of the week, which led to even more on Tuesday, and it's a full-blown outbreak now. Athletic Director Scott Strickland said the Gators had less than 50 scholarship players available. They decided it wouldn't be possible to play the game because the virus snuck up and bit them. But they say they followed the safety protocols and all that sort of thing. And Strickland said the outbreak could have started with a couple of players who had some minor symptoms just a week ago and didn't report them to the medical training staff, saying it was allergies or a cold. And, you know, it does feel like allergies or a cold a lot of times when people get COVID-19. It's not what you expect necessarily, because it affects every person differently. But when you have certain symptoms you keep hearing about, you do start to think, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this me? Do I have this? Is this what's going on? So I'm going to pay it off, this segment of Odds and Ends, with this story, because as I said at the top, the pandemic has more Americans ready to throw it in and go into a van and be a minimalist and forget having roots. Only 54% of buyers think now is a good time to buy a home. Yes. And why is that? I think it's because of the root thing, of what I said. One is the roots, and why would you take on a new mortgage? I mean, if you could cut the mortgage payment, or if there was something that just was absolutely you had to do, and there could be reasons why. It would be a really awful time, though. Why put yourself through that now? To wait would be so much better than trying to deal with navigating the pandemic and a very, very big move, or a close move, because loading and packing and all that stuff and people coming in and getting things is where you open up that Pandora's box of possibilities. Nobody wants to jump inside that box. Trust me. All right, we're jumping across the pond coming up a little bit later. Matt Pinard, you do not want to miss him. He's next. Wait till he tells you his story about what he saw in the clouds, in the sky, and how he also helped the FBI. That's next.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The third day of the Supreme Court nomination hearing of Judge Amy Coney Barrett has wrapped up, with Barrett being asked by Iowa Senator Joni Ernst if she had any advice for young women.
Be confident to see what she wants, to have a plan. One thing I've often told my own daughters is, you know, that you shouldn't let life just happen to you or sweep you along. You should identify what your objectives are and identify the kind of person that you want to be and then make deliberate decisions to make that happen.
Representative Bill Huizenga is in self-quarantine after testing positive for the coronavirus. The Michigan Republican tweeted that he tested positive ahead of a planned appearance with Vice President Mike Pence and went into self-isolation. Huizenga says he's waiting on the results of a second test to confirm his diagnosis. If confirmed, he would be the 16th member of the House to test positive for COVID-19. This is USA Radio News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are continuing to negotiate over an economic stimulus package. After speaking for more than an hour on Wednesday morning, there are plans for more talks on Thursday. Secretary Mnuchin told CNBC that he's unsure about the speaker's approach to negotiations.
The all-or-nothing approach doesn't make sense. There's $130 billion of money that we have not spent that we could spend tomorrow for additional PPP money for small businesses, giving those companies a second check, which are very important. But we will continue to simultaneously try to reach a comprehensive package.
And Alabama head football coach Nick Saban and athletic director Greg Byrne have both tested positive for coronavirus. Team Dr. Jimmy Robinson said in a statement that both had learned of their positive test Wednesday morning and immediately left the team's facility to self-isolate at home. He adds that currently no players have tested positive, but they are doing contact tracing in accordance with SEC guidelines. Number 2 Alabama meets number 3 Georgia this Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
We have a treat. I was just thinking this the other day as I was looking into the clouds and thinking about the conversation that I had with Matthew Douglas Pinard. He's got a series out, and this is volume 3 that we're talking about. It's called The New Wine, The Veil Rent. Think about what I just said about looking into the clouds. Imagine if you looked into the clouds and you swore you saw an angel and you actually had a photograph of it. Very, very cool. And this book is so fascinating. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate, very much.
So you heard my setup. Let's make sure we give the payoff to everybody listening about the clouds and what you photographed and what you saw and what led you on this journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So the journey kicked off for me. I was raised Catholic, as I know you are too. And I left the day after Christmas Day to go pray with a friend's mother who had very, very severe MS and cancer, and went through a Chicago toll booth and just felt this kind of charge of electricity shoot right through my car. The sun was out when it shouldn't be in Michigan in December. And I looked up and I took a photo. I didn't know really what I had until we got to the church to pray with this woman who was very ill. And I said, oh my God, that's a woman in a veil. And I felt, I could feel the spiritual energy come from the sun right through this woman and her image. And so I started doing a lot of research. You know, what is going on here? I've never seen anything like this in my life. And to me, I can connect it to a prophecy from 95 AD that's online. Anybody can read this prophecy. It's a prophecy called The Woman Clothed with the Sun. And it's so amazing. The part that's amazing to me is that the prophecy stated when this event would occur, which I believe it has, and I believe I've documented it with this photo that's on the cover of the book, that tremendous turmoil would be in the world. there would be a child taken up into heaven after a battle with a red dragon. The red dragon would then come and attack the remnants of the woman's seed, which to me is the human race. And it talks about fire and water being ejected through the dragon. And it's funny because the ancients looked at these kind of things differently. You could easily count fire and water as floods, wildfires, and volcanoes, which we're having enormous amount of presently at the moment, not to mention a pandemic. So it really, this apparition of this woman clothed with the sun, who I believe from my Catholic faith is actually Saint Mary coming to us from heaven, because she knows we are in a real state of turmoil at the moment. And what's incredible about this book is I just started documenting things that were then occurring in my own personal life. I started getting really strong intuitions to go pray for one of the incredible stories in the book is about Jamie Kloss, who was a young lady kidnapped at gunpoint after her parents were murdered in front of her in Wisconsin. My wife and I just started doing a rosary per day for her. And, you know, we both saw this image of a log cabin out in the middle of the woods. I saw an image of a dark colored SUV going through a drive through like a fast food. Sent all this information to the FBI. They called me the next day. They were fascinated about how I could do this. And a month later, which I documented in the book, I'm out here in Arizona for work, and the sky just turns into this incredible sunset. I go home and I said, something happened. And I Google headline news on my phone, and Jamie Kloss found alive, log cabin in Wisconsin. Her abductor is in custody. Just, I mean, amazing kind of things like that. There's an incredible story about a young woman from Iowa named Molly Tibbetts, whose family was really excited to have her story in this book. But she was murdered by an illegal alien. They caught him. And you've got to see the photo in this book of the very minute I was writing the paragraph about her life and adding her into this book. And in my book writing software program, this incredible photo occurred in the skies of what to me looks like an angel on fire flying through the sky. Wow. And it happened just the exact moment I was, writing the part about her. There's another story in this book about a missing teen in Central Arizona who I met with the family, and they, you know, I told them I had this gift and how can I help? And the grandma was very appreciative. She said, you know, his mother was being treated because she believed he was dead, and they lost all hope of him returning. And basically I said, I'm getting this word mallard, like a mallard duck is going to be a real key. I don't know what it means yet. Grandma calls me 4 days later and she says, you're not going to believe this, but they found Riley 4 miles from Mallard Drive in Prescott, Arizona. And it's just, to me, what occurred is, you know, this apparition of St. Mary, some kind of gift within myself that I know others have this. I'm positive of it. There's a lot of shows out there right now about paranormal and spiritual communication. But this book in particular, you're going to see actual photos of angels in the skies, demons in the skies. I believe I've captured two photos of the fallen angel, Lucifer, because he is a part of this prophecy, meaning that he would be the red dragon that is in battle with our Blessed Mother. And if you look at what's going on presently in the world, I think that this is very indicative of the spiritual battle that is occurring worldwide. We are in a tremendous confrontation with China right now in the South China Seas over waters and territories, and that could easily lead to a third world war, which is terrifying. As you know, we have weapons now that could wipe all life off of the planet. So that's really the crux of this book. That's how it came about. I can tell you too, there's going to be a book 4 and a book 5. So it's continuing. It's ongoing. And anybody that reads this book, I think, could really see actual angels in the sky that might give them pause or give them some kind of intuition to maybe go pray for somebody or walk into a church, even anything like that. You know, I know our mother said in 1917 when she appeared to farm children in Spain to do a rosary per day for world peace. And I don't think that message could have any more profound impact as it really needs to have at this moment too. 100 years later.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you brought that up and Bam Bam told us those stories that just give me chills to think about. One of the things that you talk about angels, you talk about the Archangel Michael and what his role is in the world and what you think is his role is today. What is that?
Yeah, so Michael is considered the taxi arch. And what that means is he's the chief and primary military general, if you want to think of it, that battles Lucifer head on and has been granted the authority to really intervene in situations where Lucifer is attacking an individual or controlling a world leader or, you know, irritating a missing teen in Central Arizona. So he can intervene. I believe I have really strong photographs. There's one of the photographs in this book is I showed it to the grandmother of the missing teen here, and we had been praying for him, like wrap Michael's wings around Riley till he's found. And this just incredible image. You see this wing across the sky and it just appeared out of nowhere. And then there's a figure walking on one of the feathers of the wing. And I had to zoom in to really see that it wasn't just a, you know, a blip on the camera. It really is a figure walking on a wing. And it's just, it tells me that, you know, the human spirit is capable of far more than I think we can even comprehend. And then even more so when you add an angel into the mix to intervene in your life and in whatever way they need to do that, you'll see incredible things and then incredible signs and wonders in our skies of that intervention.
Yeah. Did you ever think, I mean, look, you're a former U.S. Army JAG legal specialist. I mean, you're super educated.
Yeah.
A couple of degrees, one in psychology from the University of Michigan. You got a master's degree in one of my favorites, military history from Louisiana State University. Matt, did you ever think you'd be in this position that here you would be seeing these things and having a profound influence on people's lives?
No, not at all. In fact, you mentioned the military. When I joined the military, it was one of the most terrifying experiences, I'll be just flat out honest. I didn't love it. I was almost killed in basic training. I witnessed a brutal murder on one of my bases that we sent the killer to Fort Leavenworth, and I believe that that was Lucifer behind that. So, you know, when I was on active duty, I got to meet Helen Prejean, who was the nun, the Catholic nun from Dead Man Walking. And it really did feel like, you know, I'm down here paying off college loans on this base, but these things that were occurring felt very supernatural, and I did feel like I was being led, and that eventually I really needed to tell this story and tell other stories. And it's funny, Kate, because the more I said yes to the woman in the veil, okay, I'll write what you want me to write. I'll include this photo that you gave me from the other kingdom, the more it just multiplied. And then, you know, then I'm talking to somebody else. And even yesterday, I talked to this woman who has just this very similar photograph. She has a photo of Mary in her living room, and you can see the crown on her head, and she's all in white. And I was like, wow, how many other people have this, but they're afraid of being put out to the pasture and called crazy or, you know, kind of held at arm's length? The overwhelming sense I get is, be more afraid of ignoring it.
Yeah.
You know, let's be more afraid as a society and a nation and a world of ignoring a call to disarm nuclear weapons or a call to start sheltering and feeding and clothing the hungry and the poor when we have countries worth trillions and trillions of dollars. So that's the message I got. And to me, it's such a wonderful opportunity that I feel like everyone is being given right now with these visitations and these apparitions and these messages is just a call to become more spiritually powerful and more on guard against attacks from the red dragon, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think you said that so, so well. You nailed it. The new Wine series is powerful, and this is Volume 3. We're talking about The Veil Rent. Matthew Douglas Pinard, just under that name. You can get that on Amazon.com. Matthew, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate, so much. It was really a pleasure.
As the coronavirus
coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Warning, if you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is SnapMedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Well, I've talked about this so much on the show that I lived in Las Vegas, and boy, did I have some adventures in Vegas, and I've shared some of that on the air. So our next writer that we get to talk to, and I'm excited for this version of Author's Corner, is somebody who's written about Las Vegas. Ian Jones joins us, and he's in the UK, and he's written a book called Lost in Vegas. Ian, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you, Kate.
So you had that kind of lure to Vegas like me. It's hard to describe, right? It's like kind of a, it's like, to me, it's like being in a pinball machine with all kinds of options of what you can do and where you can go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can ever really discover it. And, I do really like it there. I really enjoy it there. I've only ever really been around the Strip. I know, like all cities, There's all sorts of areas dotted around. Some are, you know, probably areas that you probably would want to stay away from. But, I love it. I love it. I really do.
Yeah. So it's interesting that that's a theme for one of your characters, John Smith. And we're going to talk about the significance of John Smith in a few minutes. But tell me why you wrote the book. Why did you write this book, particular book, Lost in Vegas?
Well, I had the idea originally, and it was based in London. And I happened to be in Las Vegas for work. You know, and it was raining at the time, and, you know, it never happens. And I was back in my hotel room, staying in the Luxor, and I was looking out the window, and I just realized the book has to be set here. It just all fell into place. And I sat down in the hotel room, and I started to rewrite, and it just flowed out, which is a great moment. it was just inspiration, and I loved it. You know, if I'd have been there a couple of weeks, I probably could have written a whole book. But it was a great moment. It really was.
So you write this book and tell us about it. It's a novel and it really pulls you in. That's my favorite thing to say when it happens to me, when I read a few pages even and I'm into it already. And you have that writing style. So tell me about, and the listeners, about the book, about the story.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the idea is that there's quite a wealthy man. He's living in the UK, got a family business dealing in precious stones. He's been working not quite so legitimately with somebody in Las Vegas for a long time, many, many years. And this guy in Las Vegas just vanishes and his son takes over. And the next thing, they've got all these problems. They're not getting paid. And then this guy, he's got a daughter who's in her 20s, loves Las Vegas, loves to go there. He asks her not to go to Las Vegas, but she goes and then she disappears. And there's no sign of her and vanishes without a trace. So John Smith is hired to go to Las Vegas to find her. And he's traveled around a lot, but he's never actually been to Las Vegas before. But the minute he steps off the plane, he just enters into just this whole series of, basically there's a whole lot of people that just do not want John Smith in Las Vegas. And it builds up through that, really. So he's, on the one hand, he's there to do his job. He's there to find Abby. And he finds up against this guy and his kind of entourage of people, all of which are just heart set on getting rid of him and shutting him down. And that's the kind of story, really. John Smith, there's nothing special about him. He's totally anonymous. If you walk past him in the street, you wouldn't even notice him. And that's my kind of main sort of character, really. That's the idea. That's what I wanted. I wanted to have somebody that really would always be underestimated, would just, nobody would ever take any notice of. And yet he's got some skills and he can, you know, he can really make himself felt if he has to.
I like that he's underestimated. And this character, in fact, has taken on a life in a series of books and more to come. So there is something about John Smith that people are attracted to.
Yes, I must admit, I didn't expect that, Kate. I wrote the Lost in Vegas, and the immediate feedback, I got some very good feedback. I got some good reviews, and the immediate feedback was that more John Smith, you know, so... which caught me out, so I wrote a second one, and North of the Rock, and there's the third book should have been out, but unfortunately with everything that's happened, it's been delayed. It's going to be the early part of next year now.
And when people read your books, like this book, Lost in Vegas, what do you hope they take away? That they get lost in the story, that they enjoy your writing? What is it?
Exactly that. I do hope so. I read a lot. I like to read. And I like to have that, you know, to play it out in your head as you're reading, and I hope that people do the same thing. I hope that my writing is such that it captures people's imagination.
Yeah. When you and in this book in Lost in Vegas, like you said, and we both share that affinity for liking Vegas. Was it tough to figure out what iconic piece do I put in here? What hotel do I mention? You know, you were staying at the Luxor Hotel. So yeah. When you sit down to write that, that's the thing about Vegas, that there's so many places you could go, almost in a way like a sort of like Manhattan or London, if you think of restaurants or places. I mean, very different personality-wise. Was it fun to kind of weave around that?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, John Smith's got some connections and he gets checked into lots of hotels around the strip. I've been quite fortunate to stay in a couple of different hotels around the strip.
Yeah. And, so do you have a favorite property? You got to tell us there. You got to stop there for a second. Do you have a favorite property? Cause I'm thinking John Smith might've liked that one.
Well, I loved it staying in Caesars. I have to say I did love it staying in Caesars. That was the first time I ever went there and that's an extremely iconic place to stay, but I do tend to stay in the Luxor, mostly because when it was for business, it was easier to stay there, and it's at the right end, and it's got everything that you need, and it's always got, it's a good place to go. And for me, when I'm away, when I like to walk around, And it's, you know, I like to walk around in Vegas on the Strip, and it's good to be there for that reason. And I've done various, worked in exhibitions that have been in various hotels. So I've been quite lucky. In Las Vegas, John Smith stays in the Mandalay Bay, and I've created this fictitious hotel that doesn't exist, which is on that kind of dead space right opposite the Mandalay Bay. I base it there. It's called the Acropolis. And I have been, I must admit, I have been a little bit loose with the real Vegas. I've put a couple of buildings in there that don't exist. But
they don't exist now, but somebody could read your book, Ian, and say, you know what, that's a good idea. Maybe we need to name this hotel that.
Well, yeah, I hope nobody goes to Vegas to stay in the Acropolis, because I could yeah.
Oh, how funny. So do you have any kind of a tradition? Sometimes when people write, and you and I talked off the air, and you fooled around with writing even in your, you know, 20s, and so here it is coming full circle. Do you, like, once it's put to bed and then it gets published, is there any kind of a thing that you do, like, wow, this is, you know, here we go, we got another one out? Do you celebrate?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. I must admit, it's still at that point where I'm kind of slightly taken aback to see the book with my name on it, and it's my book. So when I get sent the promo copy, and I'm like, wow, you know, I did that, you know. I'm still at that stage where it's a little bit, you know, and people have actually said to me, genuinely, please, will you sign my book? Which is still a strange thing to happen. But yeah, it's a nice moment. It really is. But what I find is that when I get to the point where I'm writing kind of like the last quarter of the book, I'm already thinking about my next book. And what's happened with John Smith becoming almost like a series, though I don't know if it's going to be a long-running series, that's triggering it. So I'm thinking, I can do this next time. I can, you know. So I don't think I'd necessarily sit straight down immediately and start, but I've already got ideas for things. And, you know, and also it's frustrating because when I read the book back, I think, I should have done this.
Well, that's the sign of a good writer, and we're speaking with Ian Jones, and his book is Lost in Vegas. And if you've never been to Vegas, you will like this book, and if you've been to Vegas, you will like the book. And you're right, you did take some liberties, but there's so much that certainly reminds anyone of any trips that they've had there. And it's, again, such a great, great story. And John Smith is an interesting character. I think he has a lot of layers. And I like the fact that you said, Ian, that he's underestimated, because I think a lot of people are underestimated and can identify with John Smith. So maybe that was a good on purpose intention by you.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'd be the first to admit that I'm not doing anything brand new here. I'm, you know, the one guy taking on a bunch of bad guys. There are a million books like that, and I can't take the credit for inventing something. But I just felt that by having him so anonymous, that's kind of slightly different, you know, that people just wouldn't take any notice of him.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Well, get this book. It'll definitely cheer you up, I think, because it pulls you in, like I said, and the ending is very, very interesting. Lost in Vegas, Ian Jones, thanks so much.
Thank you.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.